Hello again, class. This is Reverend Calhoun. We're going to continue our study on the spirit of honor. And for the rest of the year, we're going to be going back to our book, The Spirit of Honor. You should have a PDF for it on the website. So if you can follow along in your book. We're going to get into a word of prayer. And we're going to get right into the lesson. Father, I just thank you, Lord God, that this is the day that you have made. I thank you, Lord God, for each and every student. I thank you, Lord God, and I trust you, Lord God, that they're getting all that they need from the school, Lord God, so that they can be fully equipped, Lord God, to do ministry, Lord God, or whatever you have called them to do, Lord God. And I just give you all the praise. We thank you for our apostle and founder of Ever-Increasing Word Training Center, Apostle Leroy Thompson, Sr., Lord God. Thank you for the first family, Lord Jesus. And we thank you, Lord God, for what you're doing by your spirit and that we are part of that, Lord God. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. All right, this should be class 7. And what we're going to be talking about today is honoring life sources and 6 levels of honor. There's a chapter in your book that talks about the 6 levels of honor. And so we're going to be looking at that. One of the things I want to always point out is the first way to come against the spirit of dishonor is to sow a seed of honor. So the first way to come against the spirit of dishonor is to sow a seed of honor. One of the things you'll notice that I've been doing in the classes, I share a lot about the dishonor side so that you'll know the reciprocal of that dishonor side is honor, you know, but we're going to be getting into ways of how to show honor. Amen. Let's start off with Romans 13 and 7. Romans 13 and 7 in the King James Version says, to render therefore to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom is due, fear to whom fear is due, and honor to whom honor is due. We must render to all men their due respect and honor. In the military, it's so very important that, you know, people in the military understand ranks, understand position, understand levels, you know, because men in the military are honored and respected by virtue of their rank, their position, and their levels, and also their accomplishments, whether or not they've received the Purple Heart or Medal of Honor. All of those things institute and show honor in the military. And just like in the military, there's different ranks, there's different levels, there's different degrees of honor in the body of Christ. And we need to recognize that and understand what that is so we can honor people based on, you know, whether or not there are a fivefold ministry gifts or whatever, because it's so very important that we give honor to whom honor is due. Amen. We must honor even the more so in the spiritual ranks, like I said, the offices and the positions of authority. We owe them that respect and honor. If we want what's on them, which is the fivefold ministry gifts, the favor and the grace that's on their life to be released on us, we must properly show honor. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verses 17 through 18 says, let the elders who perform their duties. Now, this is the Amplified Bible, 1 Timothy 5, 17 through 18. It says, let the elders whom perform their duties of office well be considered doubly worthy of honor and adequate financial support, especially those who labor faithfully in preaching and teaching. Verse 18 says, for the scripture says, you shall not muzzle an ox when he is treading out the corn. And again, the laborer is worthy of his hire. You know, back during the, I guess, turn of the century when they used ox and mules and so forth to farm with, you never would muzzle the ox or the mule or whatever, you wouldn't prevent them from eating. You'd make sure that they were well fed and had the right nutrition so that they could plow the fields. You know, same is true with ministers and people in the positions of authority and leadership in the body of Christ. You do not want to muzzle the ox. You want to make sure that their physical needs from a financial point of view are taken care of, because they're are the ones, they're putting out spiritual food on our behalf. So it's so very important that we reciprocate that by sowing into their lives. Amen. All right, let's move on. Malachi 1 and verse 6 in the Amplified Bible says, the book of Malachi, the last book in the Old Testament, it says, a son honors his father, and a servant his master. If then I am a father, where is my honor? And if I am a master, where is my reverence due me? Says the Lord of hosts to you, O priests, who despise my name. You say, how and in what way have we despised your name? Isn't it true that a son honors his father and the workers his master? So if I'm your father, where is my honor? If I'm your master, where is my respect? The God armies of the angels armies is calling you to the carpet. Now, what I'm reading now is actually the Message Bible of that same verse. It says that, let me start from the beginning so I know, you know that I'm reading from the Message. It says, isn't it true that a son honors his father and a worker his master? If it's your father, where is the honor? If it's your master, where is your respect? God of the angel armies is calling you on the carpet. You priests despise me. You say, no, not so. How do we despise you? By your snooty, sloppy, defile worship or honor. You ask, what do you mean defile? What's defiling about it? Because it's not proper. What we're seeing in these days now is men and women in the body of Christ showing more honor to the fivefold ministry gifts, showing more honor to a father, and that's so very important. Showing more honor to the pastor, and that's so very important. Amen? All right. You must understand the importance of giving honor to whom honor is due. You must honor the anointing that's in the land. There have been times when people didn't honor the anointing in the land, and the Lord removed that gift and moved that gift to another locale because of a lack of honor. I know one minister who had a ministry on the East Coast, and because the people in that area didn't honor him properly, the Lord uprooted him and moved him into the Bible Belt, where he was more respected and people honored him to a greater degree. And that, you know, that's why it's so very important that we honor the gift that's in the land. Amen. All right. Trying to see. And this is something I shared earlier, but I want to make sure it's reiterated. It is required by God that we honor and respect every life source. The word says, give honor to whom honor is due. He's especially meaning here that we honor a life source, giving honor to whom honor is due, rendering to all their dues, respect and honor. Anytime people dishonor a life source, it unleashes demonic attack, satanic generational curse, poverty, all kinds of barrenness and famine. And this is coming straight out of Bishop Tudor Bismarck's book. You know, it says all life comes from God. And when people blatantly dishonor a life source, no matter what source it is, it violates the principle of God's sovereign existence. Anytime a life source, and we talked about life source a couple of weeks ago, is violated, God withdraws his blessing at any time and on any level. All right. And that was kind of some preliminary stuff from 2 weeks ago when we were studying and talking about life sources. So now we're going to get in the meat of the message, which is the six levels of honor. The first level of honor is you must first and foremost honor God. Okay, the first level is showing honor in honoring God. Proverbs 3 9 through 10 in the King James Version says, honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of thy increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. If you're not tithing and giving offering, you're not honoring God. There's no way your barns and your storehouses can be filled if you show this kind of dishonor of not tithing. You know, I remember one minister, he used the expression, the tithe is the covenant connector. It connects you to the covenant God. It's required by God that we give 10% of our increase back to the God. Because God is the one who provided us with the job, provided us with the strength to go on the job, and the health and everything that we need. So he owns everything. We're just stewards of what God has already given us. So it's so very important that we honor God with the first fruits of our increase. We must always honor God with our substance, the first fruits of our labor. God is deserving of all our honor because he is the principal life source. He is life and life in the absolute sense. When you don't honor God with your tithes, you are cursed with a curse according to Malachi 3:9. So basically, you're putting yourself under a curse by not tithing. You know, every Christian must tithe. It's not a recommendation. It's not a suggestion. It's a command of God that we give our 10%. Amen. Amen. So we honor God with the first fruits of our increase. So why? So that our barns, our bank accounts, our stocks, our IRAs, our investment accounts are full, and that our livelihood or whatever natural source that brings the money in for us will keep producing for us. You know, I've only in my lifetime of career when I was working, I've only after college worked two jobs. I worked one job in Lake Charles for about 8 or 9 months. And then I moved here to the Baton Rouge area under the leading of God. God blessed me with another job where I worked there for 37 years. And as I tithed, God always provided and kept that job secure for me. There were times, I remember one situation where I was working in a lab at the chemical plant that I used to work at, and everybody in the lab that day was terminated because of some falsification of data. I was the last person in the lab after they escorted each person to HR and basically terminated them. And so I just knew I was going to be terminated. And when I walked behind the last person, the supervisor stopped me and says, no, Greg. He says, we don't need you in HR. We need you to go over to the administration. He said, you were one of the lucky ones. Well, it wasn't luck. I know my tithe and my obedience to God had everything to do with me keeping my job. But, you know, here again, when you tithe, you're blessed. You know, God kept that increase coming. You know, I was able to bring my kids, through school, through college, and, you know, provide for my family. But tithing is the covenant connect. It connects you to the blessings and the grace of God. If you want your life to be a flourishing life, you must first honor God with the first fruits of your increase. For in him is life, and the life is the light of men. You must show honor to God first and foremost of all. It's sad when you see Christian leaders around the world that actually violate this principle of honor in terms of honoring God with their increase or not honoring God with their increase. They may teach tithing, but they themselves are not tithing. That's a total dishonor to God. All right. Also in honoring God, not only just in tithing, but in our moral conduct. That's so very important that we honor God in our moral conduct. Amen. It is very dangerous for an individual who should know better to be in inappropriate behaviors or relationships, inappropriate conduct, and moral failures. especially those that are teaching and preaching the word of God. Preachers preaching one way and living another. That's, you know, that's something you should not do. Praise God. There should be, now this is coming straight out of Tudor Bismarck's book. There should be no sexual affairs among the fivefold ministry gifts. There should be no homosexual affairs. There should be no wife swapping, no blatant sex sins, no disappropriate conduct for those in ministry. Anytime you have that level of dishonor, there is a harvest of catastrophe that is waiting to be reaped. This is total dishonor to God. So, you know, I mean, what I just said goes without saying, you know, no sexual affairs, no homosexual affairs, no wife swapping, no blatant sex sins, no inappropriate conduct, you know, all the for those who are in ministry. That's total dishonor to God. All right. Let's move on to, well, another thing I want to point out in this area, Satan will do whatever he can to discredit you and your ministry. They, and by they I mean the opposite sex, really are attracted to the anointing that's on you. Satan will use whatever he can to destroy you in the area of sex and pride. A lot of ministers fall in that area of sex sins and pride. He will use a Jezebel to seduce you. You know, Satan will use whatever trickery he can to destroy you, your years of ministry. He will try to get you involved in sex sins of pride or whatever. And one of the things I've learned over the years, especially in the early years when I would travel going to meetings, I used to go to meetings when Apostle would travel with various ministers or go to Ken and Hagen meetings. I would try to make as many as I can. And I would go by myself. And I found in certain instances that even going to Christian functions, temptation will be lurking. You know, I'll say it just like, and it got to the point where I actually wouldn't go to a meeting unless my wife could come with me, because that she was my shield of protection. You know, because I've learned that you don't give the devil any place. And I'll leave that, you know, as it may, because I think you understand where I'm coming from with that. Amen. All right. Number two, the second level of honor is honoring the apostle and prophet, honoring the apostolic gifts. Okay. Matthew 13 and 57 says, "And they were offended in him." It's talking about Jesus. "But Jesus said unto them, A prophet is not without honor, save in his own country and in his own house." So it's so very important that we know how to show proper honor to the apostolic gifts, the apostle and prophets. Amen. You must honor the apostolic source that God has placed in your region. Here's the principle. The reason many countries never get the benefit and the great gifts that God has given that country is because they do not show honor to the apostolic and prophetic gifts that God has blessed them with. You know, God placed Apostle Thompson here in this region of Louisiana to free people from financial bondage, to free people in areas of health and healing. Praise God. And when you don't honor that gift, that area and the people in that area cannot prosper. So it's very important that we show the proper honor to those apostolic gifts. Every gift is given to a region to match the needs of that region. Apostle Thompson was given to our region to set the body of Christ free from financial bondage, which I just said. When you receive him as a gift and honor him as a gift, that financial prosperity and anointing will come upon you. And not only just the financial prosperity, but also divine health and healing. Amen. If people in a region don't receive and honor the gift that God has sent to them, they will not receive the blessing that's on the man of God that God had sent to them. And that's, you know, that goes without saying again. You know, we need to honor and respect In the area of honor, there's so many things that honor entails, you know. And sometimes it's the simple things that we neglect in our honor towards the apostolic that, you know, that keeps us from receiving the benefit and the blessing of God. Amen. If you dishonor in your own country or region or in your own house or church the apostolic and prophetic gift, you are in fact dishonoring God, because he's God's ambassador representing the kingdom of God. So when you dishonor the apostolic, dishonor the prophetic in your region, you're actually dishonoring God, because that person was sent by God as a representative, and he's hearing from God, feeding the body of Christ in that area so that the body of Christ can there they can be raised up to another level. If a country or government does not honor the spiritual leaders in that country cannot be blessed. The Bible says that the curse causeless shall not come. So it's so very important that we honor the apostolic and the prophetic gifts. Amen. All right. Trying to make sure I'm covering everything. The apostle and prophets are in an area, have a lot to do with the spiritual conditions of, and the atmosphere and the spiritual climate of that region. They have a ruling, governing, territorial anointing. And so they speak blessings over that region, over that area, over those parishes, over, you know, whatever region that God has placed them in, you know. That governing and spiritual, they govern the spiritual airways of a region. They, their presence in that region keeps the principalities and the spiritual wickedness back when the apostolic speaks a word over that region. You know, that's how powerful that apostolic gift is. You know, they speak a word and they hold back the forces of darkness over a region, and it opens the airways for there to be a heaven to earth connection to the people of that area. You know, so we must honor and respect that gift. Amen. I'll give you an example from scripture. 2 Chronicles 20:20. And they rose up early in the morning and went forth into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, "Hear me, O Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, so shall you be established. Believe his prophets, so shall you prosper." You can't put it any simpler than that, you know. Here was Jehoshaphat, who was God's man, God's apostolic leader for that day, you know. And he stood and he said, "Hear me, O Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, so shall you be established. But believe in his prophets, the people he has put in position to be a leader and a guide over you." He says, "So shall you prosper." Even though the king and the prime minister and the president of a country are in charge of the natural realm of order of things, they are not in charge of the spiritual realm. God's man is. When you dishonor the man of God, you are dishonoring God. As a result, your country cannot be blessed, you know, if the people in that country do not honor the prophetic. Amen? All right. But if you honor and submit to the apostolic and prophetic gifts in your region, you shall prosper. Amen? You shall prosper. All right. I guarantee you, when people begin to show greater honor for the gifts in the house, they will be elevated according to the anointing that's on that gift, their apostle or their pastor's life. You know, as you show more honor, show more respect. You know, one of the things I've often stated is that you never want to go before a man of God empty handed. You always want to show honor and respect. Amen. This is, I might have stated this in early classes, but honor is reciprocation in terms of the way you receive the anointing and the way people act on what has been released by the gift God has sent. I'm going to read that again. Honor is reciprocation. You know, reciprocation, you got 2 over 1, and reciprocated to 1 over 2 is a reversal. Honor is reciprocation in terms of the way we receive the anointing and the way people act on what has been released. It's so very important that we act properly on what has been released. When I say act on the words that the man of God has sent and the man of God is sending to us. The greatest form of dishonor is when your preacher, or your apostle, or your prophet preach to the people year after year, and they don't act on the word that has been preached. That's the greatest level of dishonor. All right, we're going to move on now to the third level of honor. Honoring fathers, or honoring spiritual fathers. Malachi 1:6 says, "A son honored his father, and a servant his master. If then I be a father, where is my honor? And if I be a master, where is my fear? Said the Lord of hosts unto you, ye priests that despise my name. And ye say, wherein have we despised thy name? By not honoring those gifts." Corporately, it is important that we honor fathers, or spiritual fathers. We need to know in a region who has God raised up in that region to be a father, a spiritual father, and honor them. Who are the fathers in your area? You know, most people, if you're from another region, you know who God has raised up in your country or your region as an apostolic leader. And those leaders need to be honored. We have a problem because a spiritual father's message and a son's message has been distorted in some places, imbalanced, and not presently correct, and not presented correctly. You have some men God has called to be fathers who don't want to be fathers, and some sons that don't want to submit properly to those men who are called. You know, I tell people to make sure you know who your spiritual father is, because that's the person that's going to help put vision in you. That's the person that's going to jerk the slack out of you. That's the person that's going to put a fire under your feet and keep you going in the direction that you need to go. Amen. Malachi 4:6 says, "And he shall turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the hearts of the children to the father, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse." And there's also another reference to that in 1 Corinthians 4:15, where it talks about you have not many fathers, though that you might have 10,000 instructors in the body of Christ, yet you have not many fathers. So it's so very important that we honor the fathers in a region. Amen. When you have individuals that don't acknowledge that they are fathers, then you have individuals who are not fathers who make themselves fathers. That's when you have a mess. Deep down in our hearts, we know who the spiritual fathers in different cities are. We know from experience who the fathers are in the city, and we need to honor those fathers. Even if those fathers have fallen, listen to this, fallen from grace, even if they have been inappropriate behavior, we still need to honor them and to cover them so we don't fall into the same trap that they did, and we can save them and also save ourselves. And that's so very important. Noah had two sons, Shem and Japheth. One honored him and the other exposed his nakedness. It says, whenever you have a father that is uncovered, or have uncovered himself and fallen into sin, and the son speaks badly about the uncovering of their father, they open the door to the curse their father has initiated to come upon them. The dishonor, the curse, and the sin, of that father comes upon the son's life. If you remember with Noah and his two sons, how One went into the tent and saw his father nakedness because he had got drunken with wine. And he went and he told his other brother in a kind of facetious, way. And this other, the other son went and they backed up with a blanket and they covered the father's nakedness. You know, well, it was three sons, but the two, Shem and Japheth, backed up and they did not see their father's nakedness, but they covered him. They were blessed, but the other son received a curse. Amen? All right. I remember years ago there was a man of God in this area who had fallen. And this was back when we were in the first sanctuary down in the city of Darrow. I remember Apostle Thompson making a statement bluntly. He says, "Don't you put your mouth on him." You know, as many people as he has saved and the crusades that he's done and how he's helped the body of Christ, you know, cover him by praying for him, but don't put your mouth on him in a negative way, you know. And I remember that to this day. And there's times I after service, there's a restaurant my wife and I go to every now and then, and his family frequents that restaurant. And when I see him, I'll either pay the ticket or sow into his life as he walks out the door. He'll come up to me and shake my hand and thank me and want to know, you know, a little bit about who I am or what ministry I go to. But I make an effort. I've done it two or three times to sow into his life. Amen. The fourth level of honor is honoring your parents, your natural parents. Okay. Exodus 20 and 12 says, "Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee." It is so very important that we honor our parents, honor those people that God has placed in our lives. Because if you don't, your days will not be prolonged. My mom just recently went home to be with the Lord early part of the year, end of January, 1st of February. And prior to that, I made an effort to honor her, to be with her, to spend time with her, to make sure she had all her needs met. She didn't have to worry about any bills being paid. I made sure all her bills were paid on time and you know, kept her house up or whatever it did, honoring her because of the life, because she was a life source and she gave me life, you know. And so I know how important it is to honor every life source. Ephesians 6 and 2 says, "Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise," you know. Deuteronomy 5 and 16 says, "Honor thy father and mother as the Lord thy God commanded thee." So it is a commandment of God that thy days may be prolonged. If you want your days to be prolonged, honor your, and it, you know, some people say, "Well, my parents have gone on to be with the Lord." Just even honoring our seniors, our elders, and we're going to get into that in a few minutes, has a deuteriety or a notoriety of blessing on your life. But, you know, Deuteronomy 5 and 16 says, "Honor thy father and thy mother as the Lord thy God commanded thee, so that thy days may be prolonged and that it may go well with thee." You want it to go well with you. When you honor those people, that men and women that God has, you know, your parents, that God has placed in your life, you want it to go well with thee in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. You must honor our physical mother and father. You know, we should honor them highly. You must show them great respect. Even though you may not always agree with everything that they say, their philosophies or their ideologies, you know, and even to the point where your dad might have been a scoundrel, you know, might have not, you know, been the man he should have been, you still want to honor him because he gave you life. Amen. Don't disrespect him. Cover him when you can. Amen. It is sad when you have children who've been raised without fathers or the father was an absentee father. We have generations of individuals who literally have hated their fathers because of their father's absence, or they never knew their father, who their father was. Even so, they must release them and not hate hatred towards them and honor the very fact that that father, like I said, gave them lives. Sons and daughters need to start showing honor to their fathers, even if their dad, like I said, was a scoundrel or was a Jody. And when I say Jody, that's a song back in the 60s. You know, he's going from house to house. They need to sow seeds of honor so that they can break that generational cycle of death upon their lives and upon their children's lives. You know, I've seen families and fathers and people who, you know, because of their dishonor, it jumps from this generation to the next generation. Let's move on. The fifth way to show honor is honoring our seniors or our elders. Leviticus 19 and 32 says, "Thou shalt rise up before the hoary-headed or the white-headed man and honor the face of the old man and fear the Lord. I am God." The Message Bible says, "Show respect to the aged, honor the presence of the elder, fear the Lord, I am God." We must honor our seniors. We must stand up when a person with white hair enters the room and show them respect and show them honor. That's paramount. I don't have time to get into it fully, but you're honoring their years of life. Their survival skills. I mean, they might be 85, 90. I have an aunt who's 100, and she'll be 104 in December. You know, I make a point to go by and see her and to honor her and to respect her because of her years of life, you know, so that the blessing that's on her life for your longevity can also be on my life. You know, my grandmother lived to be 103. You know, I spent plenty summers at her house, you know, helping her around the house, doing whatever I can, honoring her. Didn't really know what I was doing at the time, you know, because my dad, he said, "You're going to spend the summer with your grandmother." But whatever she needed me to do, I did it. Amen. And I honored her. Anytime you dishonor senior citizens, you are expressing tremendous disrespect for the struggles and the battles that they have gone through, and the grace they had to go through those experiences cannot come upon you. What was a success for them becomes a defeat for you, and a curse because you sowed seeds of dishonor. Always honor your elderly. Number six, the sixth level of honor: honor the gift and the anointing that's on your life. Amen. Psalms 8, 4, and 6. "What is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou didst visit him? Thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, and hast crowned him with glory and honor. Thou madest him to have dominion over the works of thy hand. Thou hast put all things under his feet." What that scripture is saying in Psalms 8, 4, and 6 is that God has actually made man just a shade lower than himself. And he's crowned man with glory and honor. And we need to honor the anointing that's on our lives, that God has placed upon our lives. Amen. In that phrase, made him a little lower than the angels, that literal translation means he is the word Elohim, which means that God has made us just a shade lower than him. In other words, you put the God factor in man. So you have God and you have man right beneath God, because he made man in our own image, in his own image and his own likeness. Then God crowned us with glory and honor. If you don't respect and honor what God has placed in you, this is a disregard to the gift of life that God has given you. Psalms 49 and 11. I got a few seconds left. "Their inward thought is that their house shall continue forever, and their dwelling place to all generations. They call their land after their own names. Nevertheless, man in honor," listen to this. This is Psalms 49 and verse 12. "Nevertheless, man being in honor abided not. He is like the beast that perishes. Man that is honored and understandeth not is like the beast that perishes." You know, a person who has been anointed with honor and don't understand he's been honored, that person functions according to Bishop Tudor Bismarck with beastly instincts. He fleshly, earthly functions, you know. He's not functioning in the spirit. He's functioning just like an animal, okay? The reason why we have all kind of gangs and crimes and drug problems because people don't honor the anointing that's in them. They don't know what God has blessed them with. And so now the enemy has tricked them into doing all kind of fleshly things. When human beings don't understand the honor they have been crowned with, they become just like the beast in the jungle, appetite-driven, flesh-driven, not spirit-led. They become scavengers, predators, carnivorous, flesh-driven. You know, so this is pretty much just all six here, but these are the six areas of honor. You know, honoring God, you know, honoring the apostolic, you know, honoring fathers, honoring your mother and father, you know, honoring, you know, the anointing that's on you. These things have to be done. All right, we're going to continue in this vein next week. You guys be blessed. And don't forget, we do have the Prosperity Revival coming up next week. So if you can't, try to make it here in the house, but if not, definitely make it online. I'll see you next week. Amen.